Good morning. Nice to see you all. So I know you're waiting to see the baptisms, as am I, so I'm going to try, hard though I find it, to be as concise and brief as I can be. Be encouraged, I'm trying, even if it doesn't show from your end. I've been away this week. Had a few days off, and I went to the Brecon Beacons and did a bit of walking. And I decided I would try, at my great age, to get up Penny Fan, which is the highest mountain there. And I decided I'd do it on Wednesday, because the weather forecast was good. So I did. And when I got to the top, I thought I'd take some pictures to show you the view. Here's the first one. That, as you can see, is looking more or less southwest from the summit of Penny Fan. But the view northeast was slightly more promising. as it happened, it was fine until about 2,000 feet, and then I was in the cloud. So I decided to go back the next day, fool that I was, when the weather forecast was better, and lo and behold, there was a view. And which was completely invisible the day before. And I'll just show you those pictures because I just think when we're seeing a baptism, some of us here will be seeing one for the first time. And we can look, but not really see what's happening. We can see the events, but we're not too sure really what's going on here. Why are these rational, lovely, sensible human beings allowing themselves to be immersed in a tank of water in front of a 200 or 300 people on a Sunday morning? What's going on? And my job is just to kind of enable you, hopefully, when you are looking, to also see what's actually happening. So why be baptized? Well, a few very simple points. It really is rooted in what a Christian is. A Christian, fundamentally, is somebody who is a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the most simple way you could describe a Christian. Somebody who is a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you follow someone, then you take seriously what they do and what they did. And at the very beginning of his public life, Jesus Christ was baptized. He was about 30 years old, we reckon. He'd lived in relative obscurity in the north of Israel, in a little village called Nazareth. And then he went to the River Jordan one day and was baptized by his cousin, conveniently called John the Baptist. The word baptize is actually a Greek word. It simply means to plunge or to immerse something. And John the Plunger plunged his cousin Jesus under the water. Now, if we knew nothing else at all about baptism, if we claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and if we knew historically that Jesus himself was baptized, we might even at that point think, well, maybe this is something I should do. I'm following him, he was, maybe this is important. But we read on in the Gospels that Jesus also asked his followers to be baptized. Jesus knew that the Pharisees had heard that he was winning and baptizing more followers than John was, we're told in the Gospels. Jesus' followers were themselves baptized. And almost the very last words that Jesus spoke on the earth was to his followers, and he told them, go to the people of all the nations, even Great Britain, and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you can see the kind of sequence here. Jesus himself was baptized, his immediate followers were baptized, and then he told those followers that when they made other followers, they should also be baptized. Even if we didn't know any more than that, we would understand that if we're a follower of Jesus, this is for us. It's almost a matter of just obedience. Even without understanding what it's for, Jesus was, his followers were, and his followers were told to baptize other followers. It's a kind of an initiation ceremony for those who want to set out to follow Jesus Christ. But we do know some more about it because the rest of the Bible sketches in what the actual act of being baptized is demonstrating. So what's going on when we see Rachel and Laura immersed or drenched in the water in a moment? Well, four things, really. The Bible firstly says that being baptized is about something ending. It's about the end of a former way of life lived without reference to Jesus Christ. Many of us, perhaps all of us, grow up really not that interested in Jesus. Some grow up in Christian homes and it's not true, but others grow up and really following Jesus is not at all of interest to you. But at a certain point in life, we get to hear about Jesus, we understand the significance of Jesus, we are attracted to the way of life that Jesus talks about, a way of life that's all about love, love for God, love for others, even love for our enemies. And we think, actually, in a planet such as ours, what greater hope could there be than a way of life that is deeply rooted in love for everybody? Ways of life that are all about hate for other people or taking advantage of other people are all around us. But Jesus offers a distinct way of life, a new way of life, which is about love from top to bottom, from beginning to end. He showed that love by giving his own life for the sins of the world on the cross. He didn't fight back, he didn't retaliate, he didn't swear and cuss. In fact, he said, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." He took seriously his own message of non-violent love to the very end of his human life. And he died on the cross and gave us a model of what it means to say goodbye to an old way of life. It says in the Bible that when we're baptized, we died and were buried with Christ. There's something about that plunging under the water that you'll see shortly, which is about saying goodbye to a way of life where Jesus isn't my guide, where Jesus isn't my Lord, where Jesus isn't the most important person in my life. I'm actually saying goodbye to that way of life. It's now dead to me. And baptism is a symbol of that death. The second thing is, in baptism, it's about a past way of life being cleaned up or washed. It's a very obvious symbol of baptism, isn't it? You know, they are washed. I don't know if you had a wash before you came this morning. You didn't need to, okay? Because this, in the physical world, will wash you. You know, that's what water does. Well, clean water does. But a very important element, and almost the central element, I guess, of being baptized, is not just saying goodbye to an old way of life, but having anything of which we are ashamed or guilty in that old life forgiven by God, completely cleansed. Paul says in the book of Acts, "What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins by praying to the Lord." There's a connection between baptism and a cleansing of an old life. For many people, that's a really important moment in baptism, to know that their past is forgiven. There's no shame or guilt that remains. Everything from the top of your head to the bottom of your foot has been washed and forgiven. That's the second element. Now, we do leave the people under the water a long time to really enjoy that moment, but it's not the end. Because as they come up out of the water, the symbolism there is of rising to a new life. And just as baptism is about sharing and identifying in the death of Jesus, saying goodbye to an old life, it's also about sharing in and identifying with the resurrection of Jesus and actually entering a new life now with Jesus as my friend and guide and Lord. Paul again says, we were baptized not just into the death of Jesus, but we're baptized so that we would live a new life as Christ was raised to life by the glory of God the Father. So just as Jesus was raised to new life, the offer of God to all of you and me and every human being is that you can live a new life. The old life doesn't have to define you. A new life is possible here and now, not when you die and go to heaven, but as from this moment. And this is the way of life that Rachel and Laura are identifying with, a new life, learning what it means to follow Jesus. And that new way of life is connected with what we're celebrating today, as well as baptisms, which is Pentecost Sunday, the giving of the Holy Spirit. It would be a mistake to think that being a Christian is trying hard to follow Jesus. It's a decision to follow Jesus, but dependent on the power of God helping us. It's not just me trying really hard to be different. So again in the Bible, these words, "The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you." Your mortal body is the body that will die, the one you're in at the moment. Have a look at it. That's your mortal body. You might have another one day. Who knows? But your mortal body is your body. Your life now is where Jesus wants to come by his Holy Spirit to make a difference. A new life begins in the power of the Holy Spirit. Transforms our relationship with God, enables us to understand God as our Father. We're told in the Bible by the Spirit, we cry out to God, "Father, my Father." God's a real being who we sense we're in a real relationship with when the Holy Spirit comes. He changes us from the inside out. I've, over many years, seen countless people come to faith and have countless stories, which I haven't got time to tell you. You're relieved to know. Of the change that Jesus Christ makes when he comes by his Holy Spirit into a person's life. I've seen really angry people change into really kind people. I've seen really fearful people change into really quite courageous and bold people. I've seen all kinds of changes. Not because people have screwed up their goodwill and said, "I'm going to try really hard to be like Jesus now." Actually, no, it's because the Holy Spirit has helped them. We're told in the Bible, the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Those are the qualities that the Holy Spirit is working within us to bring about a new life. And this new life is also about serving others. Many of the people I've seen come to faith have also sensed a whole reorientation of their life's purpose. Previously living selfishly and just for themselves, now living for others in a more generous, open-handed, open-hearted way. The Bible says that the Spirit's presence is shown in all people for the good of all. This isn't just so we can feel smug and spiritual and holier than thou. This is so that we can live a new life for others. So, a new life has begun. And finally, as they exit the water, it is as though they were symbolically joining a new family. The body of the church, the community of followers of Jesus, are united together in baptism. It's baptism that's the doorway, the entry point, the initiation ceremony, call it what you will. Paul says, God's Spirit has baptized each of us and made us part of the body of Christ. What does it mean to belong to the church? Well, not that you go somewhere on a Sunday morning when you could be playing golf or lying in bed. It means to be part of the church. It means that you have been baptized into God's family here on the earth, filled with the Spirit, living a new life. So baptism, you're going to see it in a minute. Now you know what you're looking at. A symbol of an old way of life ended, a past that's been cleaned up, a new life that's being begun, and a new family that's being joined, all because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit on that first Pentecost.